Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. So far this week, we have been talking about the two questions that God asks Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. I'll remind you of those as we begin, and then we'll drop down into verse 12 for Adam's answer. I hope you will join me now in Genesis 3 at verse 11. And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" These are two very direct and simple questions to answer. The second of the two literally requires a yes answer. But how does Adam respond? Listen now to verse 12. The man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." When I read that several times, I see this. The last two words should have been the first two words. The last two of Adam's words, "I ate," really should have been the first two words and even his only words. God had come into the garden seeking to draw Adam out from his hiding spot and towards God in sorrow over his sin. God asks, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And instead of Adam beginning his answer with, "I ate," an admission, a confession of his sin, the man jams that in at the end of a reply in which he blames not himself for his own sin. The last two words should have been the first two words. God sought a yes. Instead, God gets this answer. Adam could have chosen to come out with it. "I ate. I am at fault. I confess my sin to you, God, and I appeal to your mercy to forgive me for what I have done. I am sorry. Lord, I know what you have commanded of me, and I have gone against your will." His approach to God, whom he knew well, could have been one in which Adam eagerly sought restoration of their friendship. But that is not what Adam did. That is not what Adam said. He said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree." So let's take a close look at this and be open-minded about how the Holy Spirit will speak to us about our own sin and how we answer for it before this same holy God. The objective, as always, is to apply our lives to that which we learn through the Scripture. I've already shared with you one insight. The last words should have been the first words. And notice, second, that when Adam blames Eve, he is really blaming God. It would have been one thing and factually correct if Adam said, "The woman gave me the fruit." Let me remind you of Genesis 3, verse 6, referring to Eve. "She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." But that is not what Adam says. He says, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree." Please highlight this emphasis in your Bible. "The woman you gave me." As soon as Adam blames Eve, that makes him bold enough to accuse God. The first man just made God responsible for his sin. That is as scary as it is ridiculous. The man knows why God has given him the woman. Do we need to be reminded of what the Lord God said in Genesis 2, verse 18? "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" Eve was made to be a helper to Adam, not a hindrance. She was not created to introduce the man to sin. Adam knows that. In fact, after God brings Eve to Adam in the garden, listen to what Adam declares in Genesis 2, verse 23. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." That's quite a statement. And yet, by verse 12 of the next chapter, a very short period of time, here is Adam blaming bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, blaming this woman taken out of him, blaming her for his own sin. What a dumb thing to do. Sin really does make us stupid. And sin makes Adam so stupid that he actually has the temerity to blame God. Essentially, God, if you had not given me this woman, then I would not have sinned. If she had not introduced me to the fruit of that tree, then I would still be perfectly innocent. But you see, Lord, you did give her to me, and now look what's happened. The woman you gave me. This is already Adam's train of thought, and we follow in the same pattern. As John Calvin put it, we are trained in the same school of original sin. We are trained in the same school of original sin. We feel that as soon as we can blame someone else for our sin, then we somehow have the freedom to ratchet that up to accusing even God for what we have done. Why do we accuse others? Why do we put them at fault? Even why do we put God at fault? We do so in order that we can become bolder in our sin. If this is not my responsibility, if this is not my fault, well, then I can keep on doing it. Eve made me do it. Actually, this kind of dark reasoning goes on in the minds and hearts of many a married man and woman. It is quite common in marriage for one spouse to blame the other spouse for their own sin. How many times does the marriage counselor hear, "It's her fault. It's his fault. It is always my spouse's fault, never mine." Husbands or wives are easy scapegoats. What was at the marriage altar, "God brought us together," has now become, "If only God had not brought us together." Blaming others suddenly becomes God's fault. And what is really troubling about Adam blaming Eve and God is that his mindset creates a greater distance of separation between him and his wife and between him and his God. My third insight is this: our sin separates us from the people we know the best and love the most. Our sin separates us from others. Imagine what Eve thought when she heard this. Dr. Young says Adam is being divisive. He's exactly right. That's the perfect word to describe Adam's attitude. There is much division among husbands and wives and in families, and of course among God's family, the people of God, the church. And what drives all this division? Sin does. Our sin. Of course, we are tempted to cry out, "What about that person's sin against me?" We love to focus on the iniquities of others. We are always eager to hold them accountable. The blame game is the most popular sport the people of our nation play. As a layperson and a pastor in a few churches, both in the States and in Asia, so among people of different cultures and languages, I have seen this same sin repeat itself over and over again. Brothers and sisters in Christ at each other's throats, all because we want to blame someone else for the wrong that we have done. Adam's response to God is one that reflects a widening separation between him and his wife and between him and his God. Our sin separates us from God, we know this, but we must also know that our sin separates us from others. I think I told you this before, but several years ago I had training in conflict resolution. That is, how to help people resolve their conflicts. As a pastor, this is obviously crucial training to have, but I am of the opinion that as many lay people as possible ought to have it. In fact, you would do well to have it, and I bet you can find immediate use for this in your family or extended family or church, perhaps even in your marriage. One of the real tricks to having true resolution in conflicts is to get the parties involved to admit to their own responsibility in the disagreements, so that when I, as an objective third party, sit down with those at odds with one another, how do I draw out an admission of wrong for at least one of the people or parties involved? Believe it or not, it is possible to be trained how to do this, but in my experience, it is still very difficult. This takes a lot of time, patience, and perseverance. Sometimes I was successful and sometimes I was not. This is a very fulfilling ministry, and it is sweet when, by the grace of God, reconciliation happens. Sin always creates the need for reconciliation with others because our sin separates us from them. Is there division in your marriage? Is there division in your family? Is there division in your church? And/or is there division between you and another person in some other sphere of your life? Pause now and consider your own responsibility in this. Have you been like Adam, blaming someone else for what is your sin? If yes, will you consider approaching the other person or persons and admitting to where you have gone wrong? Will you take the initiative to at least try and reconcile that relationship? When we are separated from God because of our sin, God is the one who takes the initiative to bring reconciliation in our relationship to Him. God sent His Son Jesus to bear our sin so that there is no longer separation between all who believe in Jesus and His Father, God. Let us learn from our God. Let us take that first step toward another and be vulnerable. By doing so, we may just close the gap. There might be a restored relationship. Our sin separates us from the people we know the best and love the most. But it does not have to always be this way. There is a way for the separation to become a close association if we will admit to our wrongdoing. Adam did not admit to his wrongdoing. Instead, he blamed Eve. He blamed God. Thus far, we have three insights into verse 12. First, the last word should have been the first words. Second, when Adam blames Eve, he's really blaming God. And my third insight is this. Our sin separates us from the people we know the best and love the most. And I will have more tomorrow. I hope you will take what has been said today to heart and be here when we next meet together as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.